Going to finish out today on children, discipline, raising children, and I know sometimes some of these things they seem a little hard by our modern standards, but you know they're Bible.
Yeah, amen.
As Bible, they're truth, and God knows more about what you need to do in your family than you know.
Yeah,
he knows more about your life. He knows a lot more things than you realize, and the quicker we find that out, the better we are.
Amen.
And you know, if we just understood some principles, I do not believe in living by the letter of the law at all anymore. But I believe in living by principles.
Yeah, amen.
I believe there are principles laid down that if you follow them, you're just going to be that much better off than you're going to be any other way you could possibly be.
Amen.
And I believe when we study this Bible, we can come up with some real Bible principles,
amen,
for whatever we need. So if you will, I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Then we're going to go to 1 Samuel, like I told you. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Let's pray. Father, we pray you'd give us wisdom today. Give us ability. May the Holy Spirit of God touch our hearts, our tongues, touch the ears and the hearts of those that listen. And I pray, Lord, you'd have your way in each one of our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think about how close we are to God. What a blessing we have to have God so near to us.
Amen.
I don't know about all sorts of people. I think of so many people in the world with such backgrounds and such training and such problems. I would think that if I had to listen on the streets to somebody who didn't understand my language and who were very different from my customs, and they were out there preaching and telling me about some God who died but they said was alive, I'd have an awful hard time.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I grew up in a place where the Bible was considered true and that I'd heard of Jesus Christ. I think of the tremendous blessings coming to my life. I'm thankful I wasn't raised by abusive parents. I'm thankful I wasn't raised by a couple of old drunks. I'm thankful I wasn't raised by a woman beater or a man beater. I'm thankful I wasn't raised by dope addicts. You know, I think of the blessings of my life that I had the parents that I had. I think of the tremendous blessing in my life that I had the love that I grew up with, that there was a standard there of righteousness. There was a standard there of consistency. There was a standard of duty. There was a standard of love. I'm just thankful. I look back, I think about some little kids out there today. Boy, they have a hard time. They have a hard time looking up to their parents. They have a hard time obeying them. They have a hard time. Put these principles into your life. Put these into your family. And when your kids do go bad, and they're going to make some mistakes, man. Everybody's kids have trouble. Everybody is a sinner. Everybody gets out of the way. Put some principle in your life when the kids can look back and say, well, now, I'm telling you, my daddy was a good man, and my mama was a good woman. And, man, they tried to build a good family. They weren't perfect, but they tried.
Amen.
And they lived by the Bible. They tried to live by the Bible. They had some principles in their life. There was love there. They might not have all done all things right all the time, but boy, there was love there. Or there was consistency there. They cared for me. That's a blessing. Well, I think about how close God is to us. You know, God lives within us.
Yeah.
I think what a privileged people we are. If you've ever been influenced by that book I got right there, if the people that touched you were influenced by that book there, if you're in a good Bible-believing church that preaches that book there, you are blessed.
Yes, amen.
You are blessed. Well, let's turn over and look at a man. You know, I gave you an example at the start of a man that the Bible said he would raise his children, he would command his family, and his children would follow the Lord after him. That was Abraham. But I want to take you to another man that's a good man. This man was a good man. But this man made a big mistake, and the mistake was in his raising of his children. His name was Eli. And he'd been a tremendous example to me all of my life. Look at chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You know, we don't have a single word against Eli except in the raising of his sons. In everything we find out about Eli was a faithful priest.
Yeah.
when it came to his exercising his office as a priest, when it came to his testimony before the people in his personal life, this man was exemplary. You know where he failed? He failed with his sons.
Yeah.
You know where he failed? He failed to put truth into those sons. You know where he failed? These sons were not children of the Lord. They were sons of Belial. He failed in his testimony to his children, first of all. And I tell you, and I've told you before, I'll tell you again, I'll keep on repeating it. We're one generation away from atheism.
That's right.
If we don't win our children, if we don't bring our children to Christ, if we don't have our children follow the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the gospel and go to the mission field and build a faithful church, it's not enough for you to be faithful. You need to teach your children how to be faithful.
Amen.
Not enough for you to work on the church. You need to teach your children how to work on the church. Not enough for you to commit your life. You need to teach your children how to commit their life. Because if you don't, the whole thing falls down one generation away. Eli, as far as we know, anything we read about him, was a good man personally. I've known some good men. But they had a fatal flaw. They had a characteristic within them that was going to defeat them. And Eli's characteristic that's going to defeat him and his whole family is the way he treated his children. Now look what it says in verse 23. He said unto them, he's talking to his sons, why do ye such things, for I hear of your evil dealings by all this people? Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to trespass. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Verse 27, there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Man, what a judgment. Over in the second chapter, or third chapter, verse 13, he's speaking to Samuel. I have told him, Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now, let me tell you something, parents. I believe there's a principle here.
Yeah, amen.
You got some little kids and they make themselves vile, you better learn to restrain them.
Amen.
I do not believe in beating. I do not believe in slapping.
Yeah.
But I believe God made some fatty tissue right back here.
Yeah, amen.
And he made it for a purpose. I don't believe in whipping a kid 15 times. I think about 3 licks is all they need. If you do those 3 licks right, that'll be all you need.
Amen.
At any one given time. I don't believe in beating. I've seen people just wake up and slap the way out of a kid and a head jerk. You're messing with the brain.
Yeah.
You're messing with the spinal cord. You may be messing with something that your anger simply can't have. That's not discipline.
Yeah, amen.
Don't give yourself the excuse to think that's discipline. Discipline is the right action to produce a change in behavior.
Amen.
Sometimes that may be standing in a corner. Sometimes that may be taking away some other privilege. Sometimes that may be spanking a hand. Sometimes that may be spanking a bottle. But if you don't restrain those little children, you're going to answer to God for it. What about those big children? Well, you better restrain them too. He said, well, what about when they get so big I can't restrain them anymore? Well, what about Eli's case? Eli's an old man. He's 85 to 90 years old. His sons have got to be 50 to 60 years old. How in the world does he restrain his son? God's judging a man for what a man 50 or 60 years old is doing? Yes, because of his position. You the pastor of a church, and you got whoredom, adultery, fornication going on among the leaders of the church, and you don't take a stand and judge it, it splits the church.
Yeah, amen.
And God Almighty is going to hold you responsible.
Yeah, amen.
What Eli did was, he didn't remove his sons. He was the high priest. He could have, on his own, removed those sons from being priests.
Yeah.
And he should have done it. And you know how God looked upon that? He said, you honor your sons above me. You honor your sons above me. Well, let me tell you something. There's another principle. There's another principle. I know people that tell me, well, my kids got to make good grades in school, so I can't take them out of prayer meeting tonight. You know, I'll be getting them to bed too late. I'm not telling my kids I want C's and D's and F's out of them. But I tell you what, I'd rather they got C's in the world than A's with God.
Amen.
Who are you putting first? What are you putting first? Are you putting a career ahead of a spiritual life? Are you putting money ahead of a spiritual life? Are you putting family and likability ahead of a spiritual life? You're making a big mistake.
Amen.
A great, great big mistake. Eli placed his love for his sons or his sons' disapproval as something more important than God's disapproval. And in doing so, he made a very grave error in judgment. It not only hurt God, it hurt his sons. Not only hurt God and his sons, it hurt him.
Amen.
It not only hurt all of them, it hurt the whole house of Israel.
Amen.
That's where the name Ichabod's going to come from.
Yeah, that's right.
Name that son Ichabod. The glory has departed. God has said, let the ark be captured. Let the land of Israel fall. Let the army fall. Why? The priests are corrupt.
Yes.
You better think about it. You better think real carefully about the decisions you make. The things you refuse to face in your life. I don't like facing some things. I tell you what. Boy, there's lots of days, you could ask my wife, I would rather take a beating than go out and face some people on some things I have to face them with. That is honest. Some people think, I'm thought of as hard. Some people think of me as harsh. And I really don't think of myself that way. I think I'm a pussycat, but you know. What's my opinion among millions, right? The truth of the matter is, and I'm teasing, the truth of the matter is, I hate to have to discipline.
Yeah.
I hate to see somebody get themselves in a position to where I've got to go deal with it.
Yeah, amen.
I hate to have to go out and say, look, this is ugly, this is sin, what are you going to do about it? And if you don't do something about it, I'm going to have to do something about it. If you don't do it, I've got to do it. Do you know something? That's my job.
Yeah, amen.
That's part of the reason why I'm here. That's my job as a daddy. I've always liked it, I'll tell you for sure. But that's my job as a daddy. I would rather just ignore some things. But that doesn't do my child good.
Yeah, amen.
The difference between Abraham and Eli is the way they dealt with their children. And Abraham's children went on to serve God. You can call God, Isaac is known in the Bible as, or God is, refers to himself in the Bible as the God of Isaac 13 times.
Amen.
What a testimony. What a testimony. What son comes out of Isaac? Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel as a prince with God, and the whole people of God are named after.
Yeah, that's right.
They come out of Abraham's loins. What about Eli? The priesthood is cut off after Eli. Mm. His sons are killed.
Yeah.
He dies. One of his grandsons is named Ichabod. The glory is departed. Does it matter what you do with your family? Does it matter how you raise your children? Does it matter the wisdom that you use? I guess it does.
Yeah.
It does matter. It matters for generations down the line. It matters. It's important. I want to go back to Ephesians 6:4. We started at Ephesians 6:4. And I want to sort of outline everything I've told you and give you a little bit of advice and finish it up this morning. I hope by the grace of God your children turn out like Abraham's children and not like Eli's. I hope by the grace of God your future is like Abraham's future was and not like Eli's was. I consider both of them good men. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
First of all, if I would say anything, don't provoke.
Yeah,
you just don't know what you'll end up provoking. You don't know how much a person can take. You don't know what you will drive them to or drive them from. Provoke not your children to wrath. But it says, bring them up. Bring them up. I see a whole lot of things in that bring them up. I mean, well, that's go along with them. That's help them along the way. That's help them take the steps up. That's run along beside the bicycle behind them so they don't fall while they're trying to learn. That's going out and helping them, giving them some advice and carrying them along the way. Bring them up. And how do I bring them up? In the nurture of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord.
Yeah.
You give them the food of God, the food of the Word of God, and then you give them the rebuke of the Lord.
Yeah.
They need both. They need not only the good teaching and the good feeding, but they need those perimeters set on the outside, on the line, saying you can't go past this line. If you go past this line, this is the consequence.
Yeah, amen.
Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, as to teaching, I want to give you four or five verses that I've already gone over, and I want to look back over them for just a minute on teaching. One of them is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1:5 and 2 Timothy 3:15. You are responsible to teach. You cannot get out of teaching.
Amen.
If you refuse to teach, then your children will be taught by somebody else or they'll be untaught. And in either case, you will answer for it one day. You'll answer for it in this life. I promise you, any failures you make in raising your children will come back to haunt you in this life. They will also come back to haunt you when you meet God in judgment because you have somebody going to judge you for what you do. The most precious thing God ever placed in your hands was your life. And the next thing to it is the life of the children He placed in your hand to influence. And next to that, one reason why it says, be not many masters, is the people you teach. A teacher, a preacher, has a responsibility to those that he teaches. And because if you are blind and you lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. There's a tremendous responsibility on teachers.
Amen.
Don't take it lightly. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Praise God for a family that teaches from grandparents to parents to children the
Amen.
Word of God.
Amen.
The faith of Jesus Christ that goes from a grandmother down to her daughter and from her daughter to her son, and her son becomes a preacher of the Word of God. Faithful man. No man like-minded who will naturally care for your state.
Amen.
Teach your children. Teach it to your sons. Teach it to your sons' sons. Pass it down through your family. I'll guarantee you a lot of other things are passed down through the family.
Yes.
Child abuse is passed down through families.
Yes.
Many diseases are passed down through families. Lots of error, bad doctrine, bad judgment, poor things are passed down through families. Let's pass the gospel down through the family.
Amen. Amen.
Make an effort to do it. And then, 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Teach the Word of God to your children. If you're going to teach them something, make sure they learn it. One of the types of discipline that I used several times was, I say, okay, go in there and write me a chapter out of the book of Proverbs. That was a valuable thing to do, I personally think. They didn't like it. I had some people say, you're going to make them hate the Bible. Well, it didn't work that way.
Yeah,
mine didn't end up hating the Bible. I had a fellow at school. I'm a school teacher, and as a school teacher, I got tired of making kids write lines. You know, I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. So what I would do is I make copies of like If by Rudyard Kipling, and Even This Shall Pass Away by Theodore Tilden, and Desiderata. And I've got all these copies. I've got the Gettysburg Address. I've got the great literature. And I said, make me two copies of this, nice and neat, all the punctuation right, all the capitals right. Make me two nice copies of this. They don't turn it in, it's four, and it keeps them going on up, you know. I had one kid years ago, I used to let it go up to 50, I don't let it go past 8 or 10 now, but I used to let it go up to 50 copies at the shop before I sent the cover off, make them after school every day and write them every day till I got them all done. But I had one kid that copied If by Rudyard Kipling so many times, he didn't even have to have a copy, he had it memorized, word for word. And that boy entered a speech contest and took city, quoting If, interpretive poetry. That's right. He took first place in city, and he copied my If, writing it for me. So somebody, I had a few English teachers tell me, oh, you're going to make them hate poetry. That's ridiculous. They'll finally learn one poem.
Yeah.
They'll know one well. I didn't make my children hate the Bible by writing it. I'm sure they hated writing it at the time, but you know, if you read it and write it, you gotta get it in your head up there. It creases that gray matter. Did you know that? It makes a little crease. And every time you do it, it creases a little deeper until finally some things are ingrained in there. There's other ways to do things. Teach them the Word of God. When you're gonna teach them, you have a responsibility to teach them. Teach them the Word of God. And then I would say in Deuteronomy 4, I read it to you when I started out, 4:6-9, what nation is so great as to have God so nigh to them? What people are so privileged? He said, take heed to yourself and teach it to your sons and to your sons' sons.
Amen.
Take heed to yourself. Make sure you deal with yourself honestly. You're not perfect. And it's ridiculous to hold yourself up as perfect before your children who know that you're not perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
You hold yourself honestly before your children and yet teach them to your sons and your sons' sons the closeness of the Lord, the goodness of God, and what you want to teach, you pass it down through them. And then, of course, Abraham, Genesis 18:19. I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I know him, he will command his children, they shall keep the way of the Lord. There is a responsibility, it ought to be a prayer of yours every day when you get up, it ought to be a prayer when you go to bed at night,
Yes.
Oh God, that my children would keep the way of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh God, that my children would know you. Oh God, that my children have enough sense to put spiritual things first. Oh God, that they'd see real things, not just this froth and foam that's out here that goes for life. Real things. Spiritual things. Honesty, truth, love, marriage, home, family. Things that are important. How about salvation and eternity? How about God? Things that are important. I see so many people throw away so much importance for nothing. Nothing. For a pile of junk. For a little bit of trash. They act in nothing but selfishness and foolishness. They can't see 3 weeks down the road, much less 3 years or 10 years. Some of you sitting in this room right now could look back and say, my, that was a foolish decision I made. I imagine every one of us in here could look back and find some instance in our life. We sure were dumb. Good man. Why couldn't I see?
Yeah.
Well, God hasn't given us all that much wisdom, but we ought to work towards wisdom. We ought to work at it towards our children. We ought to teach our children that they might live the way of the Lord in the future. Choose the spiritual. When you get a chance to choose the spiritual.
Amen.
Then as far as discipline, I'd like to review that. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. There's a tremendous promise. Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Every child that I've had so far, and I guess I've got 4 grown, and 1 almost there. Everyone that's been able to get grown has had to test everything that I've taught. They've had to think for themselves. They've had to disagree with some of the things Daddy said. They've had to stand up to Daddy, and I tried to make my children independent. My children aren't independent just necessarily by nature. It was Verlene's and my purpose also. We wanted independent children to stand on their own. We wanted to grow strong men and women. Yes. We didn't want hothouse plants that as soon as the wind hit them, they'd crumble. We did our best to let them make decisions. We wanted to be strong and independent. And so we have to putting up with their disagreeing with their raising, disagreeing even with my doctrine, disagreeing with lots of things that we do. But you know, I've been very, very blessed. Turn mine loose and they've come back home and they're about 90-95% of what I believe they believe.
Amen.
I consider that a tremendous blessing. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. That doesn't mean they're never going to get into sin. That doesn't mean they're never going to fail. That doesn't mean they're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean they're not going to get whipped by something. It doesn't mean that at all. It does mean, though, my friend, God's given you a promise. If you mold that tree, you're molding it for a long time to come. When you bend that branch, that bend's going to be there as long as that tree lasts.
Yeah.
When you put the right kind of training and the right kind of character teaching into that little child that God's given you to train and build, you're building a character that's going to last right on down through life and influence an awful lot of other people somewhere along the way. Train up a child. And I want to emphasize it again. Beating is not training. Slapping is not training. Training is teaching them what you want them to do. Discipline is making sure they do it and giving the appropriate punishment for it. Training, I consider the rewards, and I consider discipline the punishment.
Amen.
But at any rate, discipline should not be when you're angry. Discipline should not be because you're angry. Discipline should be to correct behavior. Even when we discipline somebody in this church and remove them from our fellowship, our purpose is not simply to hurt them. Our purpose is to bring them to a place they come back to, a right walk that's best for them and God.
Amen.
Some people are very tender. They can't handle that. Some people are so tender they can't handle discipline for their children. And that hurts them. Hurts their children and hurts them. And churches today have gotten out of the practice of practicing any kind of discipline. Anything goes! But that hurts the church. That hurts the people they leave alone. That hurts the people they do not discipline. It goes completely against the Word of God. Goes completely against good training for any family. Whether they like it or not, whether this generation cares for it or not, it's true anyway. Back in Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there's hope, let not thy soul spare for his crying. Chasten thy son while there's hope. Man, if there's still hope, you keep working.
Amen.
Somebody said a living dog's better than a dead lion. There's always hope for a living dog. Amen?
Amen.
So the same way, And there's still hope. That boy's still alive. I don't care if he's 25. Just keep preaching to him.
Amen.
I don't care if he's 35. He needs some help. Try to help. Maybe he'll come out of it. You know, people do.
That's right.
People do. There have been some amazing transformations. Some of you are sitting right here this morning. There's some amazing transformations right in this room today. Praise God for the amazing transformations
Amen.
Taking place
Amen.
In people's lives.
Amen.
Well, let me read you 22:15. Foolishness is bound on the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You can expect a young person to be foolish. That is just as normal. If you find a young person that's 13 and acts like they're 30, that's a rare thing.
Yeah.
But most young people that are 13 are going to act like they're 11. Okay? Expect it. Most of them that are 17 are going to act like they're 15. They think they're 25. They think they're acting like they're 25. But it's amazing how foolish they look sometimes. I see some tough boy. He weighs about 125 pounds soaking wet. And he's got a t-shirt on, got his cigarettes rolled up in his thing, got a tattoo on his arm. And he's walking around with long hair and a cigarette in his hands. Man, you think, I'm tough, man. Look at me. Aren't y'all scared? And I think how foolish he looks. If he really knew how dumb he really looked, he'd put those cigarettes in his pocket like a normal person, put a decent shirt on, cut his hair, and walk around and say, please don't beat on me. If he really did, see? People are so dumb sometimes, and young people are just dumber than most, excuse me. Their brain power may be at its ultimate at 17, but their wisdom is certainly not at its ultimate at 17. Aren't we thankful that God's patient?
Amen.
Oh, I am. I'm thankful God's patient. Gives us a little bit of time. You wish you could put a 40-year-old head in a 17-year-old body, but it doesn't work. God didn't make it that way. It just doesn't happen. But foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Expect it. Don't get so mad when your boy or girl acts foolish. Don't get so mad. Expect it. Now do something about it. Do something about it. Not just out of anger, not out of stupidity. Do something about it. Discipline them. Train them. Make them go right. Use the appropriate reaction. The rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, I don't know. Depends on how foolish your child is. Amen? Or oh me. Look at chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Thank God for parents who whipped their children, disciplined their children, rebuked their children, and got their children to realize there is a right and a wrong.
Amen.
And if I do wrong, I pay the price. Therefore, when they hear about the gospel of God and know that God is a faithful God, he will do right. God is a faithful God. He is a just judge. God is a faithful God. He will not overlook sin. God is a faithful God. He will hear you when you call. Rod alone doesn't.
Yeah, amen.
Need to spend some time telling them why you're doing it, what you're doing. Need to spend the time and say, this is what I want you to be. Need to spend some time and say, if you go this way, it's going to hurt you. If you go this way, you're going to be hurt. If you go this way, others are going to be hurt. If you're going to go this way, God's going to have to judge you. Need to spend some time with reproof. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I don't know that all the mothers are ashamed, but I'm sometimes ashamed for a lot of the mothers.
Amen.
I really am. I would have been ashamed if I took my kids into somebody's house and they picked everything off the walls. They couldn't leave anything down there. I would have been ashamed. And if I were you, I'd be ashamed if your kids come to my house and all they could do is pick everything off the walls. Do you know there are people that say after some of you leave, man, I hope they come back without their kids next time. Woo! A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I didn't write it. I just read it. That hurt your feelings? Sorry about that. Verse 17, correct thy son, he shall give thee rest, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The very next verse is, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
But if there's any place you need vision, it's in raising children.
Yeah.
If there's any place you need a long look, it's in raising children. You say, I've corrected him 14 times for that today, I don't want to do it again, I'm just going to ignore it. No!
Amen.
Amen.
You just keep on sticking with your God. You keep on trying. Keep on hoping you can get the foolishness out. And sometimes it's buried deep. But you keep on working at it. You don't give up. You don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. I'd like to give you some advice. Several areas of advice. And I guess the very first advice I'd give is love. Give you advice for your children. I'd love them. Give them lots of love. Some of us, it's not so easy for us to show love. Some people just show love all the time. They just shower love all the time. They're so lovey, lovey, lovey. They're so sweet, you almost get sick, you know. Well, I'm not that way, as you can probably tell. But you need to show love. You need to show love. You need to not only love them, but they need to know you love them. They need to know you care about their future. They need to know you care about their present. They need to know that when you even making your mistakes and you're raising them, you cared about their past. You need to love them. You need to sometimes say it. I know I said this one time. I was preaching on the marriage, actually. And I said, when's the last time you told your wife, I love you? Some of you, it was the day you got her to marry you. Haven't said it since. I said, you need to go home and you need to start practicing saying, I love you, and do it 7 times a day. That's not too much. So one of the brothers in the church, he said, I'm taking care of that business. He gets up in the morning, says, I love you, 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 I love you. Now I got it done for all day long. Well, that's better than nothing, amen?
Amen.
That's better than nothing.
Amen.
You know what your kids need to know? They need to hear it from you sometimes. I love you.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing about people's feelings, how they feel. They many times don't feel loved when they're loved the most.
Yeah.
Human nature is a funny thing. It's an amazing thing. I know people that will come to me sometimes and they say, they don't love me, or he doesn't love me, or she doesn't love me. It's really not true.
Amen.
They need to hear it though. They need to be reassured. We are so lacking in self-assurance so many ways. Our egos are so high and so easily deflated. We need to tell each other, I love you. Maybe 7 times a day is too much. How about once? Once a month? Your kids need to be reassured. They need to know. Because sometimes they don't think so. For reasons beyond your reasoning. Their reasoning is not the same as yours. They do not understand the way you think. They cannot think the way you think. And therefore, since you cannot put that 50-year-old head on that 17-year-old body, you're going to have to reassure them. So love them. Show it to them. Tell it to them. I love you. Men, discipline. Some advice on discipline. Make discipline clear. Make sure your kids understand. They should know beforehand what's right and what's wrong. They shouldn't have to wait till after the fact to find out, oh, you don't approve of this. Isn't that the way a lot of people act?
Yeah, that's right.
You're just free as a bird. You run around doing the thing you want, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, bang. What did I do that I haven't done 15 times in the last 2 weeks? Boy, that's unfair.
Yeah, amen.
Really unfair. Let me know the rules ahead of time. Don't stick up the stop sign at the road after I passed it and then give me a ticket.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. Be clear. Let them know what is approved behavior and what is disapproved behavior. Let them know what you expect out of them. Be clear in your discipline. Make sure they know their limits. You know, what we've tried to do in my family is to give them different limits at different ages, different responsibilities at different ages. And sometimes that's hard to do. It's really hard. Some of you are not that place yet. But it's a very hard thing to do as a parent to back off and let your kids make their own mistakes. That's difficult. It's hard to take your hands off. You've been giving them advice for years, and all of a sudden you got to just shut your mouth and bite your tongue and sit there and try to be sweet. They're dumb. Don't raise me smarter than this. They need to know their limits. They need to know what you expect. It needs to be clear. Then I'd say another thing that is a real error in a lot of people's judgment. The husband and wife ought to be in agreement beforehand.
Amen.
You make a big mistake if the child knows she can come to you and get it when she can't get it from the other one. Now, there's a certain amount of that that's natural. We understand that. But you need to be in agreement. If one of you's always for spanking, the other one's always against the spanking, and every time a discipline problem comes up, you two are fighting in front of the kid, you don't stand a chance.
Amen.
You got a divided house. You can't win. Whatever it is, you two get alone by yourself and agree to some things and stick with your agreements.
Amen.
Get in complete agreement as best you can, as much agreement as you can possibly get on what your discipline and your family is going to be, and then do your best to stick with it. It'd be better to have a lighter discipline and be in agreement on it.
Amen.
Than it would be have any other kind and be disagreement on it.
Amen.
Whatever it is, a marriage is a compromise. You need to make some rules, and you need to agree on them. Husband and wife need to be agreed. You do not need to be divided. I think you need to remember always about discipline, its purpose. The purpose of discipline is not to relieve your anger.
Yeah.
The purpose of discipline is to correct the child. The only purpose discipline should have is that that child's behavior is changed. Your purpose is not that they get so much beating. Your purpose is that they walk better tomorrow. Your purpose is that they understand this is going to cost them somewhere down the line. Your purpose is you save their soul from hell.
Amen.
Your purpose is you save their life from ruin.
Amen.
The purpose is you give them character. Your purpose is to change behavior. The purpose of discipline is to change behavior.
Amen.
And I guess the third piece of advice I'd give you would be consistent. Be consistent. I think there's a tremendous mistake when you don't establish your clear lines of right and wrong and stick with them. I think it's a real mistake. I've made that mistake. Everybody makes every one of these things I've made is a mistake sometime in my life. But you need to establish those limits, those clear lines of right and wrong, what you will accept, the type of behavior you will accept, what you want out of your child, and they need to understand. They need to be taught to them. Taught very young. They need to be consistent with them. You don't change them every week according to whim. I've known teachers that change the rules just before the test. I've known teachers that change the rules after you turn the thing in. What's your heart to live with somebody like that? Parents are sometimes the same way. They change the rules according to convenience of themselves at the given moment. You need some rules that you got to follow too. You need some guidelines you're going to follow. They don't have to be always right. They can even be wrong and still work if you're consistent with them. And if people understand you're doing the best you can possibly do with them. They need to be the same every day. They need to be thought out and agreed upon. They need to be fair with each child. Let me say this about thinking them out. That's going to take some cooperation between a husband and a wife. It's not a one man or a one woman job. It's going to take some cooperation. You're going to have to do some compromise. You're going to have to do some reading. You have to sit down and take care of some really hard thoughts and say, what are we going to do when this comes up? What are we going to do? How are we going to act in this particular situation? And you come to a place that you're in agreement. You have a consistent front. And that child has an opportunity of understanding what's expected of them. As to fairness with each child, I think you ought to try always to be fair. I think one of the problems Jacob had was his tremendous love of Joseph made his other children hate Joseph. And Jacob was wrong. He was wrong in what he did. No doubt Joseph had to be a fantastic child, had to be a tremendous personality. But he was wrong in what he did. We need to be fair. He was in a situation, though, where he had four different wives. He had a favorite wife, and these were the sons of that favorite wife, and that favorite wife died. All he had left of her, the only one he really loved, the only one he ever worked for, was her. He was in a different situation than most of us are in. There's a lot of problems with yours, mine, and ours. Be fair with your children. They may be your stepchildren. They may be her children. They may be his children. They may be our children. Be fair with your children. They may be adopted. Sometimes there's adopted children, there's natural children within the same household. I've seen lots of people that have a lot of problems in their minds because I was adopted or because of something else that came up. They have to deal with situations like that. They may be really loved, but they don't know they're loved. Be fair. Sometimes, and that's a very difficult thing because everybody's different. I could beat Billy to an inch of his life, and 30 minutes later he's forgotten and doing the same thing again, and I got to go after him. All I do is talk to Eddie bad. He's hurt for 3 days. All I do is let him know I disapproved of him, and he, you know, with a difference in personality. Every one of my kids has a different personality. Why do you do this? Because I want to deal with this child. You do your best to be fair. When you got a bunch of kids, you can't give one what you give everyone else. There's no way. One of them has a great need. You spend your money for that, but you don't have enough money to go, well, I spent $3,000 on this one. Well, I can't just give each of the others $3,000. I can't do that. Dale and I are in a situation, and poor boys with lots of kids, there's just no way that you do things like that, you know. Maybe if you just got two kids and they're fairly well equal, I gave them 100, I got to give them 100, you know. Maybe you can live that way, but I never could. But you do your best to be fair. You do your best to judge yourself when you're not fair. You deal with your children. When you're tired, decide to overlook something, you lost. The child lost. You be consistent. You do your best to be a good, fair, consistent parent. Wisdom, each child's different. They got a different personality. What they are really is just little people. They've got a different character. They've got a different response. You need to take that into consideration. No matter what they think, no matter what somebody else thinks, the wisdom comes to you, comes from you. You have to make the decision on how you're going to treat each child in each situation. And that's wisdom, because you cannot treat them all exactly like, even if you're trying to be fair, even if your rules are the same. Sometimes you have to take in consideration personality and circumstance. because every child is different, and it's wisdom to see the difference. I'd say another piece of advice is make your word good. One of the reasons why I have a pretty good time teaching school is that I do my best at the first of the year before Thanksgiving to make sure every kid knows I keep my word, even when it hurts me to keep it. But it sure makes it nice all the rest of the year. They got a good bit of advice. Don't smile before Thanksgiving for teachers, you know. It's good advice. Well, let me tell you, parent, it's real good advice that kids would know Daddy will keep his word.
Amen.
Good or bad? Whether he promised you something good he's going to do for you, or he promised you he's going to nail your hide and do it. Daddy will keep his word. Mama will keep her word. Make your word good. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Put a little salt and pepper on it when you say it, because you may have to eat it. It's going to come back to you. Do your best not to say something you can't live up to. I hear people promise, promise, promise. I'm going to whip you. I'm going to whip you. I'm going to whip you. You're going to catch it. And they never catch it. You know what that kid knows? Their word's no good. Their word is no good. Well, what are they going to believe when something important comes, Dad, and you give them your word? Your word's no good. Make your word good from the time they're this high and all the time they know you. Your word is good, so be careful what you say. Say as little as you can. Be careful what you say, but be sure you make your word good. And I'd say my last piece of advice on raising children is pray for your kids every day. Do everything I've told you that you can, and what you've missed doesn't mean you're a bad parent. It just means you're a human being. Pray for them. Pray that God will overcome your mistakes. Pray that God will improve on your failures. Pray that God will keep them from bad decisions when they can't handle it. Pray that God will keep them from the wrong kind of company. Pray that God will give them the right husband or the right wife. Pray that God will give them the right friends. Pray that God will give them the right job, not the wrong. Pray that God will hedge him about and keep her from temptation. Pray that God will give enough wisdom to love him. Pray that God will draw him to himself. Pray that God will give him a spiritual mind. Pray that God will give him wisdom far beyond their years. Pray for your kids every day. Pray for your kids every day. Love them. Pray for them. Lord, I pray you'd bless us in raising our children.
Amen.
I pray, dear God, our children and our children's children will serve thee. I pray, Lord, you would overcome all our failures and our mistakes. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.